All right, our series that we've been going through here during the season of Advent has been called God Coming. And the word Advent, as we've mentioned, comes from a Latin word adventus, which means arrival or coming, and it speaks particularly of something of great importance coming. And our theme for this series has been for us to be ready for God's coming. And one of the places where Jesus speaks about readiness is in Luke 12. He said it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching or finds them ready when he comes. Now, our timeline has actually gone in reverse as we've talked about the comings of God. And we decided to go ahead and start with the return of Christ a few weeks back and talk about that coming of God. And then last week, we talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit after Jesus went back to heaven. And now this week, we're talking about the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago when he came as a child in the manger, the coming of the Messiah. Now, God's coming happens when Jesus returns as king. It happened when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And God's coming occurred on the first Christmas. And the infant child that was born in the stable in Bethlehem so long ago was none other than the one called Emmanuel, God with us. And our themes for each of these Sundays have been for us to be ready for the King, to be responsive to the Spirit, and today to be receptive to the Messiah. And so we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1 this morning. John has a different way of telling the Christmas story. We'll read that this morning. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And then jumping to verse 9, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Today we want to talk about the Christmas story. And we want to talk about the story that we're living in. I was thinking a little bit about my cat. And our cat got sick about a week ago. And it was one of those situations where we just couldn't say, well, I hope he gets better. We had to take him to the vet. Now, I don't know if you have an animal, and I don't know how your animal responds to the vet. But our cat normally is fairly docile, although that might be a statement some would challenge. But when he gets to the vet, he becomes a completely different animal. He is extremely on alert, and his claws come out, and he becomes almost unhandleable. And we've gone a couple of times, and we've suggested that he be sedated. And so up to this point, they had never sedated the cat. But this time, it became very apparent to everyone in the room that sedation was needed. And so one man, big man, you know, jumps on my cat and holds him down while the veterinarian gives him a shot. And then everyone steps back, and I watch Jackson. And he's just sitting there, and then just slowly his head just starts to go like this. And pretty soon, I mean, the life is right out of him. And His eyes are still open, he's still awake, but he has absolutely nothing that he can do. And so they pick him up and they love on him, which I'm sure he didn't want. And they do every possible thing that needed to be done to the cat. Tested him and did all these things. And then a little later in the day, we picked him up, we took him home. And Jackson seemed to be a different cat altogether. For one thing, he never meowed for about 4 days. I think he was in shock. And I wondered if he was actually going to pull out of it, but he sort of returned back to his normal self. But one of the things I was thinking about is that Jackson really has no choice about the world that he's living in. Now, he has a few choices, I imagine. I don't know how animals and free will work, but you know, he walks around the house, he can do a few things, but there's a lot of control that is exercised in his life. He had no choice about going to the vet. He had no choice about what happened at the vet. He had no choice over a number of things. He had not a lot of choice in the world that he is living in. But I want you to think about the fact that you have some choices about the world that you're living in. You might say, yeah, there's a lot of things in my world I don't have a choice about too. But there are some things, and the most important things, I would say, you have a choice about the world that you're living in. But let's talk about the story of Christmas, and let's talk about what it meant for humanity to have God with us in the flesh. And the first thing it meant is this. It meant that light came into a world of darkness. We read in John 1 here about how in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. When we go on to read in some verses that we skipped when we began this morning, we read about John. There came a man whose name was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. John actually was said to be by Jesus. John was said to be a lamp that burned and gave light in John chapter 5. But he was not the light. The true light that gives the light to every person is Jesus. He and only he is the true light. When Mary and Joseph took the child Jesus to the temple on the day they were supposed to present him to the Lord, Simeon, an old godly man, was there. And listen to what Simeon says. He took him up, took Jesus, the baby Jesus, in his arms, and he praised God, and he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." He's speaking of himself. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Light, this idea of light, speaks of things like truth. It speaks of revelation, speaks of understanding, it speaks of hope, and it speaks of the gospel. So when we use this imagery of light, it has a lot that stands behind it, a lot of what it can stand for. And Jesus, if you remember himself, spoke about being the light. He spoke to the people. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Well, the light of Jesus didn't come into a world already full of light, but he came to a world of darkness. A period of 400 years of silence came after the last of the Old Testament prophets, silence from God, where no word, no communication, no light came from God. Some might have thought that God had given up on humanity. They might have thought that he didn't care, or maybe even that God was dead. but they just didn't know the true God. They didn't know that God was planning something big, that he was planning something so big that he waited until everything was just right. Paul says that when the time had fully come, God sent his son. It wasn't just a happenstance that Jesus was born at the time that he was. Not only was prophecy just at the right time of its fulfillment, the very setting of the world was in such a state that it was the perfect time for Jesus to come. God knew when the time would be just right, and he sent Jesus, who would be the light, into the world. Paul says that though this light, Jesus came at just the right time, and God sent the light of the world, that, or John said that not all responded positively to this light. In John chapter 3, he said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. He's speaking of Jesus. Jesus has come into the world, light. But men instead loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. So light, as wonderful and beneficial as we have talked about it being, and as amazing as it is, there is a certain quality of light that makes darkness be confronted. And it exposes things that much rather be left in the shadows. And this is the reason why some did not want to welcome the light, is because it exposed the evil in their lives, and they did not want that evil exposed. Jesus, the light of the world, still shines. He still calls out to be received into the hearts of people today. He still calls out to be received into your heart. At the first Christmas, not only did light come into a world of darkness, but also life came into a world of death. As we read this morning in John 1, it said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In the book of 1 John, which is also written by the same apostle, he begins that letter by saying this. He said, that which was from the beginning, he's speaking of Christ coming, that which from the beginning which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So Jesus is the life bringer. But the life bringer didn't come into a world already full of life, but he came to a world where death is alive. From Adam on, people have been carriers of death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, because it is sin that brings death. Sin is the cause of death. Romans 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that is through Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. This helps us realize and recognize that all of us are those who are part of this problem of death and part of this problem of sin. It all goes together. All have sinned. All are in line for death. But A little bit later in the same chapter, we read, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here we're told that what comes through Christ is life. And this life is made possible only because of Christ. Jesus said that the thief, that is the enemy, that is the devil, comes only, his mission is to steal, it's to kill, and it is to destroy. In contrast to that, Jesus says, the reason I have come is that they, that is all of his people, everyone who would receive him, may have life and may have it to the full. And this is still the case. True life is found only in Jesus. So when you trust in him who is the resurrection, he said, and the life, as he called himself, then Jesus said, you will live even though you die, so that it might be said, you will never die. As strange as that sounds to our ears, the life that Jesus gives is so much life that even death itself is not something that has the final say over us, not something that defines our life. It is something in which we could say that we actually never die. Death will not have the final say over you if you have placed your trust in Jesus. On the first Christmas, light came into a world of darkness and life came into a world of death. But something else also happened, and that is that love came into a world of despair. Back to 1 John. John wrote there, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, if God is love and Jesus is God, that means Jesus is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. You know what we're told here? That love sent Jesus into the world. Love sent Jesus into the world, but he's also the embodiment of love. Let me go on. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the very height of love, of God's love, was the fact that he was willing to have his Son not only come into the world, but to offer his Son, to offer himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus was the very, as I mentioned, embodiment of love. But he didn't come into a world already full of love. Jesus said that even the religious leaders of his day were those who were not carriers of God's love. He said to the Pharisees, woe to you, because you give God a tenth of your mint, your rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs. You're very fussy about some things, he says, but you neglect justice and the love of God. The people were not experiencing or seeing God's love in their day coming from those who should have been showing it. It says, in fact, what was happening was, Jesus said of the Pharisees, that they tie up heavy loads. And he's not talking about physical, actual burdens, but he's talking about the kinds of demands that they put on the people, the kind of spiritual demands. They tie up heavy loads, they put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. The kind of life that exists outside of the love of God is a picture of despair. This is a picture of despair. And Paul describes what humanity is like in an unredeemed state. In Romans chapter 3, he said, it's written that there's no one righteous, not even one, no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All have together become worthless. No one who does good, not even a single one. Throats are opened graves. Tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There's no fear of God in their lives before their eyes. It was Francis Schaeffer who, many years ago in his book, The God Who Is There, who said that if you take all of the world's philosophies to their logical end, if you, whatever it might be, if you just keep following that thinking to its very logical end, it ends in one place and one place only. And that is, it ends in despair. It ends in despair. There is only hope in Christ. There is only hope in the gospel. There's only hope in God and in his love. And notice how the love of God experienced through Jesus, the Messiah, how it dispels despair. Titus chapter 3 says this, at one time we too were just like those people in Romans 3. We too were foolish and disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Talk about a life of despair. This is the life we lived before. But something happened. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we have done, and it's a good thing, because we could not have done righteous things to God's standard well enough to be able to earn or to receive the salvation God offered. Not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He goes on to say, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's conclude today by asking this question. What story are you living in? Are you living in the story of light, the story of life, and the story of love that's found in Jesus? Or is darkness at work in your story? Is there destruction that's going on? Is despair what you're experiencing? Well, you can change the story you're living in, but only by trusting in the one who is light, and the one who is life, and the one who is love. There is no other pathway. And the story that we're living in, as I mentioned, there may be many things about that story we wish we could change, things that we do not have control over. And we recognize that this morning. But there is something about the story or the world that you're living in your heart. And this is what makes the most difference. Is if you're living in the internal world of light and life and love, then though the external world may be full of turmoil, you can withstand that turmoil. You can endure that turmoil from a place of light, from a place of life and love that's found in Christ. So what story are you living in? And then secondly, what reception have you given Jesus? When Jesus the Messiah entered the world he made, he was not welcomed, we were told, but some did. Some did receive him. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, all who welcomed him, into their life. To those who believed in his name, those are equivalent things. To receive him is to believe in his name, to believe in him, to trust in him. He gave the right to become children of God. Jesus wants to be welcomed into your life. One of the places we just read in our reading in this book this year was about the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation, where it says, where Jesus there says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door of their life, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Jesus gives this picture of him being on the outside of a life, wanting entrance into that life, wanting to come and have fellowship in with a person. And he says, I'm ready, I'm waiting, I'm knocking, but I can't come in unless you open the door. I can't enter with my life and my love and my light. I can't enter in unless you open the door. You have to welcome me. You have to open the door to me. But I'm here, and I'm standing, and I'm knocking, and I want to come in. What reception have you given to Jesus? And then finally, are you a reflection of the light, the life, and the love of Jesus? You know, when you become a follower of Christ, then his light and his life and his love become a part of your life. And not only that, it starts to spill out. Our lives are to shine out the light of Jesus. Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. That's interesting. Jesus said he was the light of the world, but then he turns to his followers and he said, no, but you are the light of the world. How can that be? It's because we're reflecting his light. His light that's in us becomes shining out of us so that we become a light. We become collectively the light that the world has that Jesus is, now that Jesus has left. We're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Another place where he talks about being the light is 1 Thessalonians, where Paul there says, you are all sons or children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. This is the kind of life we're to lead. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love. Here's another quality we're talking about as well. As a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Our life is characterized by something different because the light is shining through us. Faith is to be seen, and love is to be seen, and hope is to be seen in our life because the light of Jesus is shining through us. The life that we live is also bound up in the life that comes from Jesus. Paul said, I've been crucified so that my life, I have to say in a way, is no longer the life I'm living, but instead I'm living a life where Christ lives in me. I no longer live, Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And the love found in Jesus is meant to flow through us. He says, a new command I have given to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then finally, he says this in 1 John. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he's given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. To be the Savior of the world. This is the story of Christmas. Light entered into this world of darkness, and life entered this world of death. and love entered this world of despair. Is this the story that you are living in? Let's pray. Father, Christmas is a time that reminds us, Lord, of so many wonderful things. And it's a time of great joy. Lord, today, help us to recognize just all that comes with Jesus being born in Bethlehem. That it meant, in a world of darkness, light had finally appeared. That it meant in a world of death, life had arrived. And in a world of despair, your love was shining through. And Lord, that is still true today. Though in our world today, there is much that could be said about darkness, and much that could be said about death, and much that could be said about despair. And yet the light of Jesus still shines for all who would be willing to receive him, for all who would be willing to accept him, for all who would be willing to believe in him. May that be true of anyone here today who's not yet made Jesus their choice, the one to believe in for everlasting life. We pray in Christ's name.